Good evening. Let's open with 251. 251, open wide thy heart. Open wide thy heart today at Jesus' call. Bid him enter and abide, the light thy all. Only trust him and be still. Let him work in thee his will. For a heart that's open wide.
Good evening to everyone. Thank you for the beautiful, inspiring singing which has turned our hearts toward the Lord and toward heaven. A lady uptown before Christmas, she went to the mall in Oklahoma City, and Santa Claus was there, and he had a machine set up like a kind of a airport metal detector. And he had people stepping through there. So she went through there, and he had a readout there, and he told her she had been 64% good this past year, and that he told her, I think I can still come to your house, but he says, don't get any worse. He says, you can do a lot better. You know, I was thinking, if only it was that easy. We'd like that, wouldn't we, at revival time? If Jesus would be here, and if he could just give us a direct reading where we stand, I would like to know. I want to know where I stand in the eyes of this holy, righteous God that I'm going to face someday. I'd like to know that today. Well, I really believe revivals provides us something like that. It's an opportunity. The word is spoken with power and grace, And the spotlight of the Word shines into every corner of our heart if we'll let it. And I believe that there's extra grace. Everybody's praying. And I believe it's God's plan. And we can know. The Word says, examine yourselves. See where you're at in the faith. It's in our power to see where we're at. The letters to the seven churches of Asia is great reading for revival time. Those are report cards. I mean, the Lord just spelled it out to those people. Here's where you're good. Here's where you're bad. Here's what you need. Here's what I think of you. Good reading. But I want to just point out one verse here that shows us how different God thinks than we do. The Church of Laodicea, chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's kind of striking. You know, we think, as long as I've got the Spirit, and I might be a little cool, indifferent, I might be carnal, I got some needs, but that's surely better than being stone cold. Well, I don't know. The Lord hates that condition. He finds it repulsive. And it might be a condition much more advanced than a little bit of this and that. It's probably you're quite cold, quite cool, you know, where you don't care what's going on in the church. You're carnal. But there's an element of hypocrisy to that. You're telling the world, I'm a Christian, and your life doesn't show it. It doesn't match. God hates that. That one lukewarm Christian does more harm to the cause of Christ than anyone. And even we appreciate it when we visit with someone and they'll say, I know I'm not right with God. They'll even say, I know what's wrong. We say, now, there's hope for someone like that. That rather than the person who says, everything's fine, I'm doing great, I'll take care of me, you take care of you. So may God give us grace for an honest, earnest search in our lives. And as we listen to the Word, let that light shine into everything in your life, folks, so that we can come together and have a blessed communion. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we want to thank thee for this special day of rest and for a special time of revivals. And Lord, we believe that you are on the giving hand. You're walking among us. You're by the pool of Siloam. You're ready to help us. And Father, we just plead with you to give grace as our brother speaks to us, that he can have an open door and that our hearts can be open to understand and hear what you're saying. Just guide this revival further. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's take our Christian hymnals and turn to number 411. 411. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast
Good evening. May you feel the presence of God and the comfort of His love this evening. Appreciated the opening, and I just appreciate what I feel here. Do you know Christ, or does Christ know you? It says in the last day there that I never knew you. So it's important, significant, that Christ knows you. There's a lot of people today that they profess to be Christians and to know Christ, but it's significant that Christ knows them. We want to examine. I noticed Uncle Clark talked about examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. And we want to do a certain examine on our lives this evening, and a certain inspection of our building or our foundation. Maybe I should say that the opposite way, inspection of our foundation and or our building. What have you built with this last year? What kind of a life have you lived? It's good for us, healthy for us to think about that. To see where we are. Been impressed with the thought of in Christ. We'll probably talk a little bit about that together with this. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 28. We'll go ahead and read our verses. I have four different portions of verses here. Isaiah chapter 28. Verse 16. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And then to Matthew chapter 7. This is the account of the two builders. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Then one more in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 to 15. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. As we think of a new Christian, thinking of, I think each one of us as that are born again, we understand the part of building of our relationship with Christ, the beginning of that relationship. And we remember that time when we made a commitment to God that we would serve Him until death. It didn't matter what would come our way, if only He would give us peace. I remember praying that prayer. And in faith, I reached out and accepted the blood of Christ. And it was that saved me. A foundation was set in place. A sure foundation. And I don't think I can stress that enough. The importance of realizing that foundation of Jesus Christ and the importance of taking that by faith. This evening I want us to think about a building. We can take this church for example, but as there's an individual that wants to start a building in life in a natural sense, he digs down and he creates a bed of foundation, something sure, right? TSMC is a big chip factory there on the north side of Phoenix. They worked, I believe, for a whole year digging down underneath to get down to rock because they were scared of any earthquake activity. And they dug and they dug and they dug. It needed to be sure and it needed to be solid. And that is what we do in the natural sense, is we first of all work on the foundation and we begin to get that sure and solid, and we begin to build our walls, the wall of that building, the wall of this building. That's the first thing that goes up, are the walls. That's significant to me. As I think of the walls and the beauty that is within the walls, and the foundation that those walls need to stand upon, we could say the 12 apostles' faith, or we could say the doctrines of the Word, a foundation. We could say Jesus Christ, it agrees. And as that wall is erected, there is that bracing that gets put into place that the walls are steady and the walls are square. It's important. It's a plumb line. And that wall is sure and steady and straight before the roof goes on. And then the rafters are put on to place. As I think this evening of a brace in the wall, in our wall, that is, I'd like to think of that brace connecting the foundation to the upper story. I don't know, there's a term, carpenter, some of you do construction, you would know the term I'm thinking of probably, but there needs to be a line, a continuing line from the foundation to the upper. And I like to interpret that this evening as the leading edge. Of our life. That the leading edge, where we're headed in life, is connected to the foundation. And in that foundation, it's sure, it's solid. There are times that I heard recently there was a builder in times past built a house on Pensacola Beach, and they dug the trenches, and the sand kept falling in. Finally they just said, you know, we just did the best we could, never found bedrock. And how often in Christian life do we do that? That finally, I'm tired of digging. I'm tired of putting effort into it. I'm tired of the sweat and the tears and the blood that goes into it. I'm tired of the blisters. And I'm ready just to call it good and just make it do the best we can. It's likened to a foolish man built his house upon the sand. It doesn't withstand the tempest of life. It affects it. So as I think of our, and I, this message could go in all kinds of different areas, but I want to try to focus it in our own Christian walk of life. Personally, it could go into the church, it could go into our homes, but as I think of the security that we as brothers and sisters need in today's era, the security that we need to have in Christ, that is significant, that we would be in Christ. It's a beautiful thought. If you just want something to be, if you want some inspiration some evening, put that in your search of in Christ. And the verses that come up, it'll feed your soul. That the scriptures in the New Testament, they talk about being in Christ, you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new in Christ. Our strength is in Christ, and our security, beloved ones, is in Christ. That is that leading edge. That is that brace that connects our foundation to the leading edge of our life. There are too many today that battle with insecurity. You know what that is? Do you understand, young ones, young people, do you understand what insecurity is? It is that you want to be accepted. You want to be accepted by your peers. And it goes into us as middle-aged. And it even goes into old. That you're always looking out. You're worried about what people think of you. And it is true that there is that accountability in the Church of God. And that is so beautiful. We need accountability. But as I think of a brother or sister, that his security or her security is in Christ, and that Christ is their all in all. It's beautiful. It is beautiful. Corrie Ten Boom, you probably heard of her. There was a time that she was asked to speak at a conference. She was walking up in the I wish my emotions weren't so much on the surface this evening. Maybe you could pray that way. She was walking up, and the applause that went out towards her. And she got up and she says, "You can keep that all to yourself." She said, "I'm just a humble servant of Jesus Christ." She found something in the service of God. She found something in the security of Christ. How that Christ was her all in all. She understood that was her strength in life. And beloved ones, if you ever feel that you are down and out, that you're down and out, and you feel like you're discouraged, you don't have friends, maybe you feel like your home is not what it should be, maybe you feel that you battle a certain lust for the world, maybe you feel that you crave worldly music. There's all kinds of things that our flesh wants. But beloved ones, spend time with the Word of God. Spend time in devotion to God. Your security is there. Your fulfillment in life is there. And you'll find that the things that you crave in your youth or later, you'll find that suddenly those interests change to more spiritual. It's because Christ dwells in you. You are in Christ. And when you are in Christ, it's impossible for you to love the things of the world. I know that seems so perfect, but it is that way. That when Christ lives in you, you do the things that God desires. You long to do those things. There are times in our in Christian life, or in our life, I'm going to say Christian life because we're all in a battle, that we try to create a life, don't we? We try to create our homes, a life in our homes. And then, we need to fit Christ in. Have you tried doing that this last year? That somehow you want the little things of the world, and then you try to fit Christ in there. And it's like the scripture says, it becomes a stumbling block. It becomes a stumbling block. And you can hardly bring Christ in there because it doesn't really flow together. You've got too much wood, hay, and stubble. Too much of that. But yet, I was impressed with that verse there. It says, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And Christian life is rewarding, isn't it? If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. What does that verse mean? But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Isn't that the part of when we have a specific temptation or a specific trial? I remember a time back in my youth that there was something that I was battling. I battled with it way too long. I remember it became serious to me that needed to be sanctified. I was encouraged to have it sanctified. And I made a commitment there with myself that every time that thought would come, I would physically find a place of prayer and beg God for strength, for deliverance. And I remember there one time I was at my grandpa's place, Marvin and Sylvia, some of you would know them. And that hit, that thought hit again. I remember running there was some grain bins close to their place. I remember running to the backside and kneeling down and just begging God for direction, for strength. And He's faithful. Part of that burning, that burning out the dross, God does that for us. It just inspires me this evening that is where our security comes as we think of us as fathers in our homes, that it is so important that we spend time with the Word of God, that we understand that Jesus Christ is our all in all, that we are a man under authority, and that creates a security in our homes. It really does. There is something about being in Christ that there is a security that comes into that, that as Christ is in us, and He's part of us, it gives us the direction. It gives us the inspiration to know how to go before. It gives us direction in our own spiritual lives. That we can understand how to move forward in the decisions that we make. You know, today it seems like our devices are such a part of us. I'm just amazed at, you know, there's some things that I've tried to govern a little bit with my own device. And the evil one, he comes and he starts to suggest, well, it's legitimate today. It's legitimate to look at that today. You haven't looked at it for a while. And I'm not even talking about anything just really bad, but it's just something that I had made a stand in my own heart. And when I follow that voice, it ain't long that if I follow that, I understand why I made that commitment. I failed it. But I understand again why. Maybe to just explain my thoughts, some of you are probably wondering. I'm just bringing this out as a point. But I made this commitment. I wouldn't look at the news. I just wouldn't look at the news. And all of a sudden something happens over in Ukraine. And you know, the evil one, he's right there. He's right there. And well, what's happening over there? And so then I look. And again, I'm convinced again that I shouldn't have. Because it doesn't just stay there. You see that how that thought was there in my mind that no, you shouldn't, but I do it anyways. It's a disobedience, isn't it? But there again, that comes in, and I have to renew that commitment again. That somehow, when for me, and it's different for all of you, it's different probably in different areas. But for me, it breeds that insecurity within. It breeds a turmoil within. There's something that starts to grip my heart. And it's part of that building with that wood, hay, and stubble. And I find that I get tense within. I find that I come home to my wife and there's a little bit of apprehension payment. Just, I don't really know why, just is. And that's how the evil one, he works. He wants to come into our building, and he wants to put his so-called brace. He wants to put his stud in there that's defective. And it weakens the structure. It weakens it. And you know, as I think of a carpenter, as he, or maybe you can say an inspector, if you're building to code, he'll go around and inspect, and he'll see that this here needs to be changed. And that is something that we do as we inspect our building, that we see that there's this thing here, this attitude that I've allowed, that this thing on my device that I've allowed, this game that I'm tempted to always play, that it is robbing me of the grace, the strength that I need. That's what that does. That's what the evil one does. He comes in there. But it is so beautiful, beloved ones, as I think of a pure Christian, that he is interested in the plan of God for his life. And he has a vision in life. He has a vision for his building. He has a vision for the building of his own body. That he's ready to keep it because it's the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that he is willing to make sure that it is reflecting Christ. I want to tell a story. There was a man. Well, there was a king in a kingdom that wanted to make a banquet for his subjects. And he wanted to, in my opinion, let's just take for example, that banquet was taking place in a room like this, with two walls on the side like this. And he called in two painters to come in. He wanted them to paint. He wanted them to paint a painting on both walls. And then he was going to have a curtain dropped. And as the banquet was going on and towards the climax of the banquet, those curtains would be lifted and they could observe. They could observe those paintings. So he told these painters, he was an old and a young man. In fact, the young man was tutoring underneath the elder painter. And he says, I want you to do this. That's what I want. He says, and it's, what, a month or 2 months before the banquet. So the old man, he started on his wall and he started cleaning. He started rubbing and cleaning the wall. And the young man, he also likewise began to clean his side. And a week afterwards, the king, he came in and he inspected. And he noticed that the older painter, he was starting to paint a picture. He was starting his painting. He had finished cleaning the wall, and he was starting to paint. As he looked back over here to the young man, he was also still cleaning. He was not painting. He was still cleaning. Well, he figured, well, he'll start. A couple weeks later, he came in to inspect again. And the old painter, he was well on his way with his painting. He was making good progress. It looked like he was going to finish. But he looked at the young man, and his mouth dropped open, and he was still cleaning his wall. And he told him, he says, you know, the banquet's only X amount of days away. He says, are you going to be ready? And the young man says, yes, I'll be ready. And it went that way, and the It was a couple days before the banquet he came there. And the master painter was all but done. And there the young man, his wall, he was still cleaning his wall. And he was discouraged, the king was. But the young man, he tried to persuade him. He says, the wall will be ready. It'll be ready. Well, he decided just to leave it. It was going to be what it was going to be. The evening of the banquet, they were having their banquet. And it came time to raise the curtains. And there it was, that beautiful landscape was painted on that wall. And they looked on this wall. And the young man had polished it to such a degree that it mirrored that painting perfectly. And they said, why did you do that? And he says, I knew. He says, he was my master. And I knew I couldn't do it. Isn't that beautiful, beloved ones? As I think of Christ as our all in all, he's our master. And he's the perfect painter. And as we think of our lives and our security that is in Christ, and we think of polishing our heart, that it mirrors the work of God, that it mirrors Christ. That to me is so beautiful. That as I think of myself and the many times that myself wants to come out, that I want to be known as popular, that I want to be known as famous, that I want to be known for my decorations, that I want to be known for my vehicles. You could go into all kinds of areas. You know your area. But that we can put that all aside, and we can put our efforts into the love of God, into our devotions to God, and we can polish our hearts that it can mirror Jesus Christ, and that he can be our all in all, that God bless us.
I've appreciated the message this evening. I'm just going to leave a little illustration here, and then we're going to pray. Tim might have to correct me afterwards, but that's okay. But in Manhattan, New York, if you look at a profile of the skyline of Manhattan, there's dips in it. There's places in Manhattan where the buildings are taller. There's places where they're shorter. And that's not just random. My understanding is where Tim might have to correct me sometime. But that is because of the bedrock. Where the buildings in Manhattan are taller, there's more bedrock. It's deeper. And where they're shorter, there's less. Our lives today, what people see reflects the foundation. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you and we just thank you for the message tonight. We thank you for the foundation that has been laid. We don't need to lay another. Already been laid. And we pray that we would build upon that foundation. Just bless our brother for speaking, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Rock of Ages, clap for me.
Do, Rock of Ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy inside which flow be a sin, the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill a lost demand. Could my zeal no rest find, no? Could my tears forever flow? God continue to bless his word into our hearts. Thought we might mention this evening that we are hoping to visit with you as youth on Saturday, but if it doesn't work for any of you, or if you'd like a visit sooner, I think you just make that known to us and we'll accommodate that. We'll try to have a list out here in the next couple of evenings for that. So are there any other announcements tonight? Not, let's stand for closing prayer. Our Father, we turn our hearts toward you at the close of this day. Lord, you have been good to us today. We thank you for your word that has been spoken. We thank you, Lord, for the many, many things that you do for us. And we just especially pray that you would continue to open our hearts, open the doors in our lives as you see fit. Lord, just continue to search us. Be with those who are maybe who are sick or who are facing struggles, those who are reaching out to you, those who perhaps are not sure where they are. Just be with each one. Just continue to call and draw, Lord, as you see fit, that someday we can all be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.